In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, in today's gospel for the triumph of orthodoxy are these familiar words, especially to a pastor, because the pastor says them almost daily to his flock and to himself. And these are the words, come and see. Whenever a gospel or an epistle is appointed for a day, you should think about it intelligently. Why would this gospel be appointed? We're speaking of the triumph of orthodoxy. Why is it this gospel? I think we can understand the epistle about faith, yes. Why the gospel? Well, the triumph of orthodoxy is not that icons were restored. The triumph of orthodoxy is that the human nature can be restored. And the only way the human nature is restored is if we follow the instructions of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, follow me. And Philip, echoing and amplifying his command, says, come and see. Then the triumph of orthodoxy is manifested in our hearts. Now, in the beginning of this gospel, there's something that perhaps seems incidental, just introductory, but really it's quite profound and important. It reminds me very much of the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's the same idea that the Samaritan, as he journeyed, came upon. That is, he came directly to the one who was in the road, left half dead. It was not chance. It was not random. It was by intent that the Lord came to that sick man. And here the gospel says, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, person he did not know. Of course, he knew him as God, but he had not met him as man. And he found him. He sought him out, and he went to him. It was not a random occurrence. And then he said to him, follow me. We should take this as a thunderclap in our lives. The Lord seeks us out. It is not a random occurrence. It's not happenstance. It's not accidental. We have been brought to the church in order to follow him. We must understand this. It is intensely personal and intimate. Yes, we are part of the group. We are part of the body. But the Lord is intimately communicating with each one of us, not randomly, not by happenstance. He seeks and finds us daily. We should feel this personal attention. And therefore, we should hear this call, follow me. This describes Christianity. We follow Jesus. We do what he does. We struggle to be as him, because he is the perfect model of what a man is. I've told you before that we are not perfectly human yet. To be perfectly human is to be like Christ, who was the perfect human. So we cannot really say that we are men and women yet. We are becoming true men and women, true children of God. But because of sin, passions, weakness, ignorance in our lives, none of those things were present in our Lord's life. We are not fully human. So to become human, we follow him, because he is the only example. All other examples of the saints are based upon him. So the prototype is Jesus Christ. And we are to follow him. Now, that's not always easy. A lot of times we don't get a whole lot of feedback about how things are going, because things are tough sometimes. Sometimes you do good and bad things happen because of it. So because we don't have wisdom, we tend to equate, oh, I do this and bad things happen. I shouldn't do that again. When actually, we must heed the words, come and see. To follow Christ, to make that determination, must be coupled with the expectation that we will see. And what will we see? The Lord told Nathanael, greater things than these. And that is, he was talking about that, oh, it was amazing that the Lord knew him when he was under the fig tree. And the Lord said, greater things than these shall ye see. I hath not seen nor ear heard the things that the Lord hath prepared for us. I think Christianity is the constant reaffirming that there are things to see, and that the constant reaffirming that we are to follow Christ. This is not a simple thing. This is not something we just say and then we go on with our lives. This is something which we give our entire being to. Then the triumph of orthodoxy is present and becomes more present in our lives. The pastor all the time says, come and see. His words are heeded occasionally. But most of the time, it seems, the words are not fully heeded. We cannot know God fully unless we fully commit and say, I will follow thee to the ends of the world. Job said, though he slay me, yet I will praise the Lord. That's how we should be with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we should believe that there will be great things to come in our lives if we come and see. Now, in my experience, both in my own and in those of my flock, sharing their experiences, I see that doubt creeps in quite often. Not doubt that we believe in God, but really doubt that what we're doing is working very much, and then desires to find other things that kind of make it a little easier for us. Being a little lazy, not saying our prayers, not fasting so strictly, things like that. So we basically, in some ways, each one of us, in some ways live like an unbeliever. Because if we truly loved God, we would not sin. According to St. John, that's true in his epistle. So we live like unbelievers, and we don't get the full benefit of the Lord filling us. So my advice to you is you cultivate assurance that God will help you in all things. This can only happen by experience. It doesn't happen by just saying it. It happens by doing it. It happens by fasting when you don't feel like fasting. It happens by forgiving someone who won't forgive you or who is harming you and will continue to harm you even after you forgive them. It happens by humbling yourself when you want to cry out because you want to take credit for something that is yours, that you have done, that you are. If you struggle, God will always reward you. Now, it might not seem so at the moment, but it is always true. We must heed the words of this gospel, which is here in the first Sunday of Great Lent for a reason. You cannot feel the resurrection. You cannot have the effect of the resurrection in your life unless you follow Jesus and you have an expectation, so you come and see. So you believe there is something better than what you have now. You must believe that. But in my experience, you can't just force yourself to believe it. And if you live a basically secular life and watch more TV than you read the Bible, you won't be able to fully believe it. You come and see by immersing yourself in the Christian life, by coming to the services. Everybody should have been at the services last night, unless there was an absolute overriding reason. This is Great Lent, after all. This is a time to change the way we think, to not be so lazy, to not be so focused on ourselves, but more focused on God. Unless there was an absolute reason, a good reason, you should have been at church last night. Because this is the time to school yourself, to come and see. It's very, very important. Of course, the greatest way that you come and see is by struggling in the virtues. All of them. But especially loving your neighbor. If you do this, and sometimes that's difficult, God will always reward you. He will never forget anything that you do that is good. Remember about the cup of water. He will never let anyone go without the reward, even if they give a cup of water to a little one. So, brothers and sisters, the reason this gospel is present today, on the Sunday of Orthodoxy, the triumph of Orthodoxy, is because that triumph cannot be energized in our heart unless we follow our Lord as His command. And we have this expectation, this desire above all other desires, to come and see the good things which He has in store for us. If we keep this in our heart, God will help us to struggle, and it will always turn out to the good. May God help you in all things. Amen.